for the cat, also two P M. We have a roll call, please.
Steele?
Here.
Calder?
Here.
Donaldson?
Here.
Miller?
Here.
Cable?
Here.
Went, absent. Smith, absent.
Okay, great. Any additions, changes to the agenda? If not, the agenda will stand approved. How about changes or additions to the minutes from June 3rd? With that also will stand approved. We have no members of the public here, so I assume there's no public comment, no letters, no emails?
Negative.
Okay. No old business tonight. No new business tonight. But we do have a public hearing item, ordinance 04-15, chapter 87, land division requirements.
Alrighty, if you all recall with our work program that we established for this year, one of the items was to review our subdivision process, our internal subdivision process. There was a subdivision plat that the commission reviewed. I don't know how long ago it was now, but the question came up about having the surveyor's signature on the plat and why we didn't require that. And if you recall at the time, we kind of went through and pointed out that we had changed our process a few years ago to quit taking original signed documents as part of the subdivision platting process. The only thing that we were asking for were copies of a plat, and then we would give them the resolution, and then they would take the resolution along with all the signed copies that they assumably would have with their subdivision plat and then record those. Just some background quick on that too. State code requires with a subdivision plat that you record the subdivision plat. There's an attorney's opinion that needs to go with it, which is essentially a title opinion, a consent to plat. The treasurer needs to give an opinion that the taxes are up to date. The auditor has to approve the subdivision name. If there's a mortgage on the property, the mortgage company has to consent to the platting as well. And then the governing body needs to adopt a resolution stating that they approve the subdivision plat. So with that, in the past, we felt that it wasn't our responsibility to hold on to all those originals in case something did happen where we would happen to lose them or something like that. We didn't want to be responsible for losing original documents, so we quit requiring that they submit the original documents. Over the past 2 years that we've had this in place, we have had multiple issues come up when it comes to the recordation of plats, where there's documents that aren't getting recorded, people not realizing that they need to have those documents until it's too late, so on and so forth. So while we thought we were fixing a problem that we had internally, really we were just making the problem much worse by not requiring those documents. So as part of the subdivision review process that we did, we talked with the Story County Interagency Review Team a few months ago and kind of internally discussed the issue we were having and kind of tried to come to some resolution on how we could fix the problem. What we all agreed upon would be the best way would be for us to continue to require or start again requiring that the applicants submit all the original signed documents with the subdivision plat application. We would hold those in some safe place in our office. Excuse me, that's the matter real quick. That we would hold those in some central location in our office, secure location where we knew that, you know, there wasn't going to be a chance that we lose anything. What we'll probably do is establish some just files somewhere in an office and keep them all in there. Throughout the process, you know, we'll forward those documents on to the auditor's office to review to make sure that the legal descriptions are all correct and consistent. Once we receive the resolution from the Board of Supervisors, we will then bring the packet of original documents up to the recorder's office. At that point, the Story County recorder will contact the applicant, let them know that the packet is ready to be recorded, and then let them know how much it's going to cost to record the packet, and then they will come in and pay that fee and get it recorded. So the changes that we have through here, and I can go through them individually if you want, or you can just ask any questions on them, but a majority of the changes that we are making here to Chapter 87 are to reflect that change to us requiring those documents to come in now. There's a few other changes that we made as well on here. As far as our procedures, you'll see in every different platting process that we have, at the top of the procedure it says that the procedure shall be adopted annually by the Story County Board of Supervisors for review and approval. We took out the word annually from there. pretty much what we were trying to get at there is we didn't want to bring these forward every year in our procedure to have the board approve them. We figured that if we, as staff, identify, or you as the commission identify that there is a portion of the procedure that needs to be changed, that we can just do those as that happens. We don't need to be bringing these forward annually. It just takes a lot of time from our end. So that was one of the changes we did make. But everything else is tied back to all the materials that are to accompany an official subdivision plat when they come in. So I don't know, do you want me to go through each one of these sections individually and kind of go through the changes? Have you reviewed them? Do you have any questions on them?
Let's stop for a second.
Okay.
And just ask if they had questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? Okay, our concern a while back was signed documents, right? Mm-hmm. So why are we requiring original documents as opposed to a copy?
Because what was... I'll give you one example that has happened in the past year, probably. The copies get mixed in with the originals then at some point, and then they're getting dropped off at the recorder's office. The recorder will go through them. Oh, wait, we have a copy here. We need the original. What happens then is they'll call the applicant and say, hey, the consented plat was a copy. We actually need the signed original.
The recorder needs the original?
Yes, the recorder needs to record
original.
Well, the recorder cannot record any copies of anything.
Okay, that answers right there.
Perfect, then I won't go into it any further.
Charlie, will you hold on to those originals?
Yes.
Forever then?
Yep. Well, not forever, so we'll record that. To tell you the truth, I don't know where the original goes after they get recorded. I would assume it goes back with the actual applicant. I know, for example, the deed to our house, when we signed that over, we have the original tied to our abstract right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the originals, once they're recorded, they go back to whoever recorded them.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but we will hold on to them through the duration of approval of the subdivision plat and then give them to the recorder. The recorder will then record them and release them back to the applicant.
Other questions? Have you guys... that you've done everything you can to accept as much as possible digitally?
Yes. Well, and again, here's a portion of the problem. When it comes to these documents, we actually need the original copies because obviously you have to record a hard copy. I'm not sure that the recorder's office has a way to record a digital copy of something. I don't know if we ever brought that up, but I would assume that they don't have a way to do that. However, we'll route through when the stuff comes to you. Obviously, it's all scanned in and done digitally. Subdivision plats, when they come in, we'll actually have one original copy of the subdivision plat, but we'll also have a digital copy of the subdivision plat. In past years, we required, 20 to 25 copies of a subdivision plat when they come in, and anymore we require one hard copy and one digital copy because we've over, I would say the past 5 years, we have really cut back on the amount of hard copy applications that we get in. And I don't see this process necessarily changing in that other than as far as the original signed documents, the hard copies, we will require those.
What you see a lot with these subdivisions coming is that you have the surveyor, you have the property owner or the client, and then you also have the attorney. And those three bodies that are all involved in the subdivision, and those three bodies don't always have all the information. Each one of them. So you get in this game of telephone. The attorney has an idea, but then they send the property owner, who has no clue what's going on, down to our office, and they're like, "I'm supposed to pick something up. My attorney told me," so on and so forth. And big game of telephone, essentially. And this process, we feel would alleviate those sorts of issues. The right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing through the process. So.
We've always said internally that if there was some way we could require that the only person who could submit this stuff was an attorney, we would do it. But obviously, we can't really control how that stuff comes in. But I think, and I'll speak for Ryan, too, I think the attorneys are somewhat the easier ones to work with because they have an understanding of the process, where your average person from the street, out there doesn't necessarily understand why you need all seven of these attachments to a subdivision plat. And it might be, I'm sure it's confusing for you because it's confusing for us at times, too, on why some of this stuff needs to be there. But
Other questions for staff?
No, but I think that we rightfully just rely upon you folks to cross all the T's and dot the I's.
Yeah.
You know?
And as I had mentioned, this has been vetted through our interagency review team, which is made up of the auditor's office, the assessor's office, the engineer, conservation. So it's kind of some mutual agreement amongst many levels of staff in the county that this is probably the best way to handle it. And most importantly, we've run it past the county recorder, and she's very comfortable in accepting this process. So, and that helps out immensely. And I do need to give Stacey Harris a lot of credit for accepting this process too, because it's going to hopefully relieve a lot of stress that's put on us as a staff to make sure that these packets are complete and getting recorded correctly. Again, past couple of years we've run into situations where after it's recorded, we have abstractors calling us saying documents are missing and stuff like that, and it's become a lot of work on the back end of subdivisions that really is unnecessary. So.
Questions for staff? Then we will open the public hearing. 15 minutes after the hour, guys. I have nobody here off of public comment, but has anybody heard any feedback from attorneys, developers?
Nope.
Anybody surveyed us on this project?
No. I will say you'll see through the submittal requirements, the last submittal requirement on every process is other submittal requirements as defined by the planning and development director. Pretty much since at the staff level, at the interagency level that we agreed on this process, we have been requiring these under that heading right there. We haven't had many subdivision plats come in. We just did have one come in today. We've had a couple come in too, and we're getting a lot of a conformance to that portion of the regulation. They're submitting them, and I think everybody understands that it's probably easier this way, and I think they're accepting of it. So,
yeah, the other thing to note is that we kind of got the idea from the city of Ames, because Charlie Kuster was involved in that meeting, and this is kind of what they do, and works pretty slick for them according to his input.
So many of the folks who make applications are probably used to doing it on the city of Ames.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, and as was mentioned in that meeting about the signed plat, you know, again, there was a little bit of concern from the commission that, well, hey, they're submitting this plat right now. It doesn't have a signature on it, so what's to say they change something? So at least this way we'll know that, you know, this is the signed plat that we have, and we can make reference to that signed plat in the resolution and make sure that's the actual one that gets recorded. We'll know that they're not slipping a new one in.
All right, then. Let's close the public hearing at 15 minutes after. Further questions? We're looking for a motion on the recommendation to the Board of Supervisors on this project.
Yes.
I so move.
Second.
Motion by Donaldson, second by Couser. Roll call, please.
Couser?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Donaldson?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Cable?
Yes.
All right. That is our main item of business for tonight. Comments from the staff?
A few things. First of all, if you recall, when we reviewed our accessory regulations, I don't know what meeting this was associated with, but February, March, we had the discussion about allowing or adding regulations for small animals, mainly urban chickens, goats, stuff like that. I think I updated the commission after that. They had the commission had forwarded a recommendation to put regulations in our ordinance relating to small animals. The Board of Supervisors reviewed that and decided to take that out because we have an animal control ordinance that they felt already controlled all that, so they didn't want to double up on regulations. So over the past few months, we've had some discussions with our animal control department just to make sure that from a staff standpoint, when people call us and ask, can I have chickens in my backyard, they're okay with us saying it's an animal control. You need to call animal control and talk to them about it. It's not a zoning issue. So we have talked with our animal control department. Sue McCaskey, who heads that department, she's definitely okay taking control of that and being the one who regulates that. So I just wanted to update the commission and note that although you did recommend that change to our ordinance, it did not get added, and it is not a zoning issue. Really no changes that need to be made other than just an internal policy that we have to direct people who have those questions to our animal control department. Any questions on that?
Mm-hmm. The
perfect. The C2C, I'll give you an update on that. The C2C plan, we're really rolling along on that. We're staying on schedule very well. We've had 4 public input meetings now to date. Over the past 2 weeks, we've had 1 in Huxley, 1 in Ames, 1 in Colo, and 1 in Story City actually last night. I think in total, we probably had about 30 to 35 people attend these meetings. Total. Sounds like some pretty good feedback that we had. I know, Aaron, you were at the Colo meeting. I don't know if you were at the Ames meeting. I wasn't able to make the Ames meeting. The Ames meeting, obviously, is the one that we had the most people at. Last night I was at Story City. I think there was a total of 4 people there from the public. Even though that wasn't many people, we had an excellent discussion, probably some of the best discussion I think we've had throughout this process. What we did in these public meetings, pretty much the same thing that the commission had, that issues and opportunities, the threats and weaknesses and all that stuff. And we had the public do that. So I think the consultants have gotten a lot of very good information from those meetings. And I think the plan, again, it's moving ahead on schedule. The commission is going to be presented with a draft plan, I think, on September 2nd, if that's the Wednesday. I believe it is a Wednesday, September 2nd. So be looking forward to that. And if you can be at the September meeting, just get that down on your calendar and make sure, because I think they're going to be looking for some feedback from the commission on that. So I don't know. We have a Citizens Task Force meeting next Thursday. I know Marvin Smith from the commission is on that Citizens Task Force, so hopefully he'll be there. I don't know if there's anything else to add to it. Aaron, you're part of the project team. Do you have...
Will the consultant be sending us a copy of the draft?
Yes. Yep.
Advance?
Yep. So... since this isn't, it's a draft that's going to be presented. It's not, you don't have to forward a recommendation on the draft or anything. They're just mainly looking for feedback. But to make it fit in the schedule, the Board of Supervisors is actually going to be presented with a draft copy of that plan a week before you guys are. So we'll have a copy of that probably 2 weeks ahead of before your meeting, and we'll probably try to get that out, I would imagine, ASAP on your agenda, so you guys have at least some time to review it. So.
That'll be on the website. We'll just get it that way?
Yeah, I think that's probably... I've talked with the consultant, and the consultant knows to forward a copy of that on to Kristen, and then Kristen will probably get it on the website of some sort. So it'll also... you have gone to the website, the c2cplan.com. Yeah, it'll definitely be on there the second it's available. So,
I'm curious, what kind of input have you gotten from the Ames meeting and from the...
It's crazy, because a lot of the input that we got was very consistent. There's a lot of comments that we got on affordable housing, for example, that seemed to be a consistent theme. People not feeling that there's enough inventory of affordable housing in the county. Water quality was always one that was coming up. Trying to think of some other stuff that came up throughout the process. But, you know, and a lot of the comments that you guys had as a commission were again, pretty consistent coming up through most of them. So there really wasn't any surprises, I would say. A lot of good suggestions through the meetings on how there, you know, ways to fix things and things that we could put in the plan that I don't think we all necessarily thought of. But a lot of trail talk, a lot of park talk.
I didn't go to the meetings.
I wasn't able to be there. I know Leanne was there. The consultants obviously were there for that. So, and there was an article about it in the Ames Tribune. I don't know if anybody saw that. So.
You have to pay anymore to get those things out.
Oh, there's ways around that.
You want to enlighten me sometime?
Off the record, sure.
Off the record?
Yeah. The only thing I have to add is that this will be my last meeting with you as a commission. I have accepted a job with the City of Independence, Missouri, and my last day will be next Friday.
Oh. So, keep losing people.
Good people.
So yeah, you're getting used to that, I think. But
not getting used to it. But Independence, so, Missouri, right by Kansas City.
Yep.
That's kind of cool.
So it's kind of a giant step up, a big move for us, me and my wife. So we're looking forward to it, and everything's kind of falling into place. I would have loved to have told you at your last meeting, but it was still kind of in limbo if I was going to be taking it or not. And I think I found out that Friday after your last meeting that it was kind of official at that point. So I've known for a little bit. I did let Aaron know as the chair, so he's been aware just because he's involved in a lot of the processes that we have right now at the C2C. So,
Ryan, you're not leaving, are you?
Not right now.
Do we have an acting?
No, so they had the application window open until yesterday. I think their hope is to have somebody in place, or at least somebody, the known replacement in play, named by August 1st, if not in place by then. So since we've restructured internally the way we're doing things, as of today, since today is July 1st, it's a new fiscal year, my direct report is no longer to the Board of Supervisors. We have the internal and external managers for the county, so I report to the external operations manager. So since we started that process, as far as claims and timesheets and the signatures that need to go with that in the interim, that manager is going to be taking care of that. When it comes to zoning permit signatures and stuff like that, Ryan will be taking care of that. So hopefully between my last day and the day that the person, the new director is named, we're looking at 2 to 3 weeks, hopefully, of that interim period. So.
So, Ryan's not, you're not moving up to director?
No.
By choice?
Yeah, by choice, yes.
Really?
No.
Okay. Who's the external?
Deb Schilderoth.
Okay.
So, and yeah, we just had about an hour and a half staff meeting with her this afternoon to kind of go over everything, so I think...
Did she leave her former position?
She's... So the external operations manager is in charge of community life, so she's not the community, is it community services or community life? I don't know what exactly it was called, but she's no longer the director. What's that?
Yes.
Yeah, she's no longer the director of that department, but she will oversee the director of that department, so she'll still be in charge of a lot of it.
That's busy lady.
And, you know, overall, I think it's a good change for the county. In the past, we've... When you report to three different people, it's been good over the last, you know, 4 to 6 years, because there hasn't been any, I don't want to say turmoil, but there hasn't been any disagreement amongst those three people. They all work together. The current Board of Supervisors work together great. However, in the past, that hasn't always been the case, and it's been somewhat stressful on the directors in the county because of that. So this is kind of a way to, in the future, we'll know that there's some continuity, I think, within the management structure of the county. So
then that manager reports to the supervisor?
Yep, the supervisors are responsible for Leanne's new position, the county special projects and outreach, and then they'll be directly in charge of the two county managers. And then the county managers are in charge of the departments. So the external will take care of... I guess it's probably easier to say the internal operations manager will take care of human resources, IT, and facilities, mainly the internal workings of the county, and the external will take care of animal control, the engineer's office, planning and development, community life, all the ones that have more of a public outreach.
Who's the internal?
Alyssa Wignall.
Okay.
Yep.
The HR lady.
Yep. So, and that started today. So it's been very good.
This Friday is your last day?
No, next Friday.
Next Friday?
The 10th, yep.
Congratulations, Charlie.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
I agree. I wish you very well, and I thank you so much for what you have done since you took that position, and your professionalism.
Thank you.
Has been very much appreciated.
Your thoroughness.
It's bittersweet. It really is, because I wish I could have had more time in this position, but it's an opportunity that's really hard to deny. So.
Sure, obviously.
And I don't have kids. That's what everybody keeps saying. You're lucky you don't have kids yet, so you can do it.
Well, yeah, you don't have to worry about school districts
exactly.
And all that good stuff.
That is all I have. I don't know if there's any questions with anything. Or
any commission comments or questions for the staff?
I wish you the best.
Thank you. You'll be in good hands
since
still.
We're all here, and maybe we do have a little bit of time. Could I ask about my commission, the Environmental Protection Commission, just recently voted on a very controversial issue of the 4-inch topsoil rule. Perhaps you're familiar with that.
The what?
4-inch topsoil during a subdivision, you have to comply with what's called a general permit number 2 when you are under construction to keep stormwater, keep it's under the Clean Water Act.
That's the NPDES, right? I thought they were one the same.
General permit number 2.
Yeah, I think it's an NPDES, but...
So previously, if there was 4 inches of topsoil in a subdivision, you had to replace a minimum of 4 inches, and it had to be spread evenly throughout the subdivision. Now, you have to leave the topsoil on site, but you do not have to spread it back evenly. You can perhaps leave it all in a low-lying area, maybe a drainage ditch, maybe a conservation area, but you do not have to put it back under the homeowner's lot, which I didn't agree with and I didn't vote for. And we were made aware that cities could be more stringent than state law. I don't know if counties can be more stringent than state law, but I would sure like to see Story County be more stringent in that I think homeowners deserve to have topsoil under their sod, and I just feel really strongly about that one. Does anybody have any? I don't know. Is it P&Z that would regulate that?
Yeah. First of all, we can be more stringent through Home Rule Authority as long as there is not a regulation built within there that says that you can't be more stringent. But as long as there's nothing in there that directly says that you can't be, yeah, we can be more stringent. B, I would say keep it in mind for when we're discussing the 2016 work program, assuming that that does happen, again, at a joint meeting between the commission and the supervisors, how we did it last year. But just keep that in mind and bring it up during that work program. But, yeah, I guess I'd be interested to hear everybody else's comments on that as well.
Well, Des Moines Home Builders really pushed it. And
I wondered, because
the process, and they said that it was costing potential homeowners another $2,000 to $3,000 per lot to comply with this, to put 4 inches topsoil evenly spread. Well, I just feel really strongly that they're going to do now whatever's most economical. And the most economical thing is to move that soil once, put it in a low-lying area, spread it out, and leave it. I think the homeowners are going to be mortified to find out that they just purchased a $400,000 home and have no topsoil.
I can't understand. I'd like to see where those figures came from. On our farm, while we lived there several times, we dug a hole and buried something, a building. Yeah. Not gas tanks. Anyway, and we always, had them push the topsoil to one side, dig the hole, do the thing, fill it in, and then put the topsoil on top. And it isn't that big a deal. Of course, ours was a small hole. It wasn't a whole subdivision. They're working on a much bigger, but I can't imagine that the cost differential is that much greater.
They had statistics of the yin-yang and said, I don't know how many people that it made it cost prohibitive to even purchase a new home because of that extra $3,000 to $1,000.
Wait a minute. We're doing a $400,000 house, and we're quibbling about $3,000?
Right. Oh, yeah. Last
year. Give me a break.
Des Moines Home Show, $800,000 homes, and I went down there and I was looking at the lot. There was a couple bare lots there next to these $800,000 homes, and it was just clay and rock. It was so bad, I took a picture of it, and I thought, surely you didn't just put sod on top of it. So I went over, lifted the sod up a little bit. It happens all the time.
I think I know in Ames they do put black soil back.
Oh, I'm sure it depends on the developer. Depends on what they...
I think the city of Ames is requiring it. The cost comes in where if you have a lot that doesn't have any topsoil.
Right,
you had to bring it in.
But that was never the case.
Then they truck it in, and that's where the expense gets. But I think normal practice is they do, as this lady said, pull the topsoil off, dig the basement.
the house about that, and then they bring the topsoils in the backyard or wherever, and then they spread them back out. But
and
I suppose if there
different
wasn't any, it would
region to region, because we went on tours, you know, as a commission, we went on tours in different parts of the state and looked at this. It varies vastly what people do.
Could be another change.
Some people were taking it off the topsoil, and if you wanted it back, well, they'd sell it to you.
Wow.
Yeah.
You said 4 inches.
That was the old rule. We just replaced it. And the governor hasn't quite signed it yet, so it's not that rule got voted on. As soon as the governor signs it, it'll go into law.
So whatever amount of topsoil is there needs to be retained on the subdivision as a whole?
It has to be retained on site. Can't be taken off and hauled somewhere else, but doesn't have to be spread back evenly anymore.
So they just got screwed out of their topsoil. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. So then they've got to buy topsoil to come back and put on around their house.
You won't even know it until you can't grow your grass, and you fertilize and you water and your grass won't grow. You're not even going to know you don't have it.
Yeah, but isn't that a problem with transparency and providing information? As an example, if you buy a house that's done, they have to disclose any issues with that house. So wouldn't there be a disclosure thing?
I don't know if the disclosures cover topsoil at all.
Well, let's change that puppy.
Is there any discussion about stormwater infiltration and rain infiltration and the degree to
which? Absolutely. We even had the demonstration outside, showing that rainwater simulator comes from Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we've seen
a demonstration. We all saw it. And yet, only two of us voted against it.
Mm-hmm. So
who's on the commission?
And I will say, too, I know in the past we have talked about having grading permits for the county, and it's never gone anywhere. Our environmental and natural resource standards are not the greatest. They at least cover kind of what we're looking to do, but they can definitely be strengthened. So, I do think it's something worthwhile at some point for us to kind of do a holistic review of how we do it, because, obviously, again, if you're not having topsoil on there, it's a concern, because you're going to increase runoff on the property. The stormwater is not going to, you're going to increase runoff. The stormwater is not going to infiltrate, appropriately. And
well, unless the topsoil is used strategically.
Yes.
There may be benefit to adding topsoil to another location, like a greater swale or a downslope location,
exactly.
But that didn't seem to be the motivation behind this. It's mostly just to be able to do it in the most cost-effective way.
That's my opinion, that's what if I was a developer and I was trying to save money, what would I do? I would take the soil to one spot and leave it there.
Right.
Spread it out, because that would qualify you to meet the conditions of your permit, but it isn't necessarily what's best for the homeowner.
Kristen, are you keeping a list for us as to things we want to discuss for our next year's plan?
I am not.
I've made notes of them through time, so on our current
You'll
work
pass
program.
That along.
Yep.
Not just to the new director, I hope.
To everybody. Yeah. Yes. I've got a file downstairs, and it's got some notes on them, so.
I have two comments. One is for Nancy. Thank you for raising our awareness about the issue and for voting your conscience.
Absolutely.
Not giving in to the majority. And then my other comment is about the people on this commission who serve on two commissions and bring their knowledge of what's going on in related areas to us. It's very valuable. I thank the people that are willing to do that, take their time, and it probably goes along that they take some knowledge from this commission to those as well, and I think that's all very valuable to all work together.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a clue about any of that without you bringing it up.
That's the first I've heard of it, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay, any other comments? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.